he had been casting Weak Aura Lance. The spell had a long cast time of 10 seconds, but Richter had a feeling that the Decamer Knight was no ordinary enemy. The fact that the knight had summoned almost a full score of minions further underscored that truth. Waves of black and gold power rose off of him as he dual-cast the spell. The energy focused in front of him, beginning as a small sphere. As he continued to cast, the sphere grew larger. When he was only a few seconds into the incantation, Richter realized that this casting was much easier than when he had used the spell against the rock giant. When he had tried it last time, Richter had felt buffeted by various emotions and concerns. The spell had resisted him. This time, it was much easier, the movement and words flowing with greater alacrity. He could only think that it was thanks to Alma's mental training. Richter focused on his objective and kept chanting. The Sapperling was fighting the Decamer Knight. The two were battling fiercely. The knight swung his axe with two hands at the forest creature. The Sapperling responded to the attack instantly. As soon as the weapon moved towards it, the forest creature stopped its forward movement and changed direction on a dime, springing to the side. The motion seemed almost impossible, but its powerful six legs let it dodge the attack. Fangs out, it swiped at the knight, its thorn claws screeching across the knight's armor but failing to do any serious damage. The knight swung again, and this time the Sapperling ducked under the blow. The fight continued. While this was going on, the adder struck at the specters weaving around it. The snake struck faster than the eye could follow. With its mouth agape, it impacted an ethereal being and passed right through it. Before the snake could even withdraw, the specter counterattacked. Though the snake didn't seem to be able to harm the ghosts, the spirits had no such limitation. Its bony hand struck the snake's back, making a small gouge in the tamed animal's scaled skin. Red blood leaked down from the wound, and the edges of the cut began to blacken. The snake drew back, but before the animal could do anything, 10 more ghosts descended. The adder started writhing on the ground as ghostly claws started taking its life away in a hell of 1,000 cuts. Alma was doing her best to help, but the banishing spell had a cooldown of 5 minutes, and so couldn't be cast again until that elapsed. Luckily, she found out that her very body was now a weapon. Some of the ghosts had immediately converged on her, flying through the air to attack. When their hands came into contact with her glowing body, though, they wailed and pulled back, unable to tolerate the life magic surrounding her. Smiling a draconian smile, she dive-bombed through the bodies of the ghosts attacking the adder, while simultaneously casting Weak Slow Heal on the snake. Just before Richter finished his spell, the lion sapperling showed the importance of summoning higher-level creatures. The three skeletons had fully emerged from the ground, and they were converging on the forest elemental. The Decamer Knight had managed to score a blow against the outnumbered sapperling, but it wasn't enough to hinder the creature. With a powerful jump of all six legs, the lion leapt 20 feet away and then whipped its head around to look at the knight. A yowling roar shook the hall, and a green glow enveloped the sapperling's body. Green vines shot up in a 5-foot radius with the knight in the center. They wrapped around the legs of two of the skeletons and the undead summoner, temporarily rooting them in place. With a final shouted word of power, Richter finished his spell. The basketball-sized sphere shot forward. It was black as a moonless midnight 1 minute, and then a ball of molten gold the next. The sphere lengthened into a javelin that struck the knight in the chest. Immobilized as it was, the knight had no chance to evade. Just as with the rock giant, its skin broke into countless pieces which floated up and dissipated. Afterwards, the knight looked the same, but Richter could see the vines holding it climbed a bit further up the undead fighter's legs. The sapperling dove in again and hit the remaining free skeleton with a flying leap. The two went down in a rolling pile several yards away from the knight and the other two skeletons. Now that his casting was done, Richter wanted to know more what he was facing. He used Analyze on the knight's summoned creatures. Name, Decamer Ghost. Disposition, Angry. A Decamer Ghost is a low-level specter. Its ability to deal damage is minor, but when it strikes, wounds often become necrotic. The ethereal nature of this being lets it ignore mundane physical damage. Level 6. Health 130. Mana 40. Stamina 110. Strength 12. Agility 12. Dexterity 14. Constitution 13. Endurance 11. Intelligence 4. Wisdom 5. Charisma 2. Luck 10. Name: Decamer Skeleton. Disposition: Angry. A Decamer Skeleton is the infantry soldier. They have bones of greater density than normal skeletons and are equipped with natural weapons in the form of bony knobs. Level 12. Health 220. Mana 10. Stamina 280. Strength 17. Agility 16. Dexterity 16. Constitution 22. Endurance 28. Intelligence 1. Wisdom 1. Charisma 4. Luck 10. Neither the skeletons nor the ghosts posed any real danger to Richter individually, but the knight was a potentially serious threat. The three bound enemies were already pulling themselves free from vines. Looking around, he quickly assessed the situation. The sapling had pulled one of the skeleton's arms free and was now savaging the other. The leaves that covered it had turned black in large swaths, but that only appeared to enrage the forest elemental. Alma was flying through the ghosts, causing small amounts of continual damage. The snake, though, was looking the worse for wear. It bled from countless cuts. Richter decided to aid his tamed animal. Running forward, he cast weak life aura on the snake and also cast weak slow heal. The adder had just been lying in a defensive coil, but Richter ordered it to attack again. Obedient to its master, the snake raised its head and shot its head towards a ghost. Unlike the last time, the ghost reared back from the adder's attack. With a hiss of animalistic vengeance, the snake laid into any ghost it could find. Richter turned his attention to the knight. The skeletons were still bound fairly tightly, but the knight was almost free. "Where you going, bitch?" Richter called out. The knight looked at him, the flames in its purple eyes dancing in anger. Richter cast Grease. All three bound figures fell. Not giving them a chance to recover, Richter released his stored spell, weak rending talons. A swirling maelstrom of claws sprung into being and started damaging the prone undead. Not done, Richter cast one more spell. He shouted, "Igno!" and a gout of orange flame shot from his hand. The grease caught fire, and a 10-by-10-foot area caught flame, burning all within. The knight had been able to ignore the talons spell, but as with all undead, it reacted badly to fire. A strained yell came from the undead summoner. Leaving them for the moment, Richter drew both swords and threw himself at the ghosts. As with the first time he had tried dual-wielding two blades, he felt off balance and unsure. The emotional flood from using spirit magic wasn't helping, but his new self-awareness skill kept the worst of it at bay. Richter rushed forward, concerned that his blades would not have an effect on the non-corporeal spirits, but oh boy, was he wrong. The sonic blade cut into the first ghost and not only did damage, but it also left a rent in its ethereal body. He followed up with another overhand chop with his ice-enchanted blade. The result was just as spectacular as the first blow. Another ghost struck him from behind, but between the weakness of the attack and the quality of his armor, he was able to shrug it off with only a point or two of health being lost. Richter spun into the sword form, Samara Seed falling. Both blades held out, 180 degrees to each other. One blade finished the ghost he had been attacking, while the other cut two more Decamer spirits that had the misfortune of being inside of his attack radius. Alma finished off one of those with weak life bolt, and the third drifted off. Master and familiar shared a triumphant look. "I think I can finish this off, my love. Let's not waste the souls, though."
"I will take care of it, Master," she thought gleefully.
Richter laid into any spirit he could reach, and Alma flew above, casting Soul Trap again and again. The adder continued to help with its life magic-enhanced body. Once she had cast the spell on all the ghosts, Alma flew over to the almost dismantled skeleton the sapling had been fighting and cast Soul Trap again. With things well in hand, she attached herself to the skeleton and used brain drain, quickly stealing its remaining HPs. Everything was going great until the knight shouted, "Enough of this!" Richter looked over towards the grease fire and saw that the knight had managed to roll free. The flames had been great at damaging the undead, but they had also weakened the magical roots that had held the knight in place. Despite the fact that it was still burning and coated with grease, the undead summoner stood tall. It wove its fingers into a particular configuration, and purple light coalesced around its arms. Not sure what to expect, Richter finished the ghost he was fighting and raised both swords. Again, neither he nor the non-human members of his party were the targets of the knight's spell. Instead, the purple light on its arms shot out in tethers to the remaining summoned dead. The ropes of death magic looked just like the one it had connected to Futin, and drew the remaining energy from the skeletons and the ghosts into itself. Multiple swirls of rainbow light wove through the air and into Richter's bag, but he barely noticed. All he could focus on was the knight as it restored itself to its full glory. The damn thing had grown 6 inches! Richter used Analyze again and saw that all of its stats had risen to full power. Also, its health, mana, and stamina were completely restored. Even the flames had gone out. It walked wide around the still-burning grease fire and started towards Richter. The Saproling and Adder took up positions on either side of him, and Alma floated above, staring coldly at the knight. Richter downed several potions, then brought both swords up, waiting for the thing's next move. The knight stopped 40 feet away, both hands holding its large axe. Futin still hovered in the prison of death magic, but Richter was relieved that the remnant's inner light hadn't gotten any fainter. The undead spoke.
"When first you invaded this place, I misjudged you. Long have I dwelt in this hall, charged to guard the portal. I confess I was drunk on the consumed energy of this flying stone. As one warrior to another, I would offer you terms. If you help me to depart this place now, I will return your captured comrade. I ask only that you help me to destroy a rune that has bound me to this dungeon. Furthermore, once I am freed, I will travel far from this forest, never to cross paths with you again. For your help, I will also tell you a secret of this place. If you choose to not depart, then I offer you the honor of single combat. If you choose to accept, I will summon a minion to tell you the secret in the event of my destruction. What say you?"
The knight's voice boomed in the hall. Despite the room being large, the sound still echoed slightly painfully in Richter's ears. You have been offered discordant quests. Quest number 1, Freedom for the Fallen. The Decamer Knight has been forcibly bound to guard this room and an unknown portal for centuries. It seeks freedom and promises to leave the Forest of Nadria. In exchange, the undead promises to return Futin unharmed if you agree to help and will tell you a secret of this place. Reward, Futin's safe return. Reward, a secret of this place. Quest number 2, Honorable Combat for the Honorable Dead. The Decamer Knight offers to fight you, one-on-one, without any minions. The offer is made that if you win, you will still learn the secret from one of its minions. The knight has been trapped here for so long that even the possibility of an honorable death seems tempting to it. Reward, Futin's safe return. Reward, a secret of this place. Know this, both quests cannot be accepted. Choosing one will lead to the refusal of the other. What is your choice?
Richter stared at the knight in surprise. When the undead had drained the life force from the other death creatures, he had expected the hall to turn into Rock'em Sock'em robots and had just secretly been praying to be the blue one. Evidently, he had proven himself, though, and the knight was willing to bow out. He told Alma what the quest said and asked what she thought he should do.
"You are an honorable man, Master. I have full confidence that you could destroy this foe. On the other hand, I say that we should just stall for time until our mana regenerates and our spell cooldowns elapse."
Richter smiled broadly at her,
feeling a peculiar mix of pride and excitement, like seeing the gangly neighborhood girl you grew up with stretching in yoga pants for the first time. She smiled back and continued.
Besides, I don't think your sapling is looking too good.
He looked at the forest cat and saw that she was right. The leaves that served as its skin were beginning to fall off, exposing the wicker lattice underneath. A green disc appeared, and the sapling entered it without even a farewell snarl. The time on the spell had elapsed, and the elemental had returned to wherever it called home.
What say you?
The knight boomed again. Just a second, Richter said in admonishment. He sheathed one of his swords and looked at the adder. The snake had small black marks all over its body. It wasn't at death's door, but it was really looking the worse for wear. Richter extended his hand and cast weak, slow heal.
What are you doing? Give me your answer!
My pet is injured. You say you're an honorable knight, but you are willing to let an innocent animal suffer because you're impatient? If you want to go mano a mano, head to head, your Pikachu to my Squirtle, then you have to wait a goddamn minute. I know you want an answer, but I'm absolutely distraught over my pet's suffering. Really? This snake is like a part of my family. You've been down here for centuries. You can wait another minute or two. The knight glared at him, purple light flaring in its eyes. Richter wondered if he had overplayed his hand. He tightened his grip on his short sword, preparing to defend himself, but the knight gave a curt nod. The undead began to pace, muttering to itself. Could the undead mutter? Richter healed the snake three more times, and the knight's agitation grew each time that golden light flared. Finally, the undead had had enough and shouted while hefting its axe,
"Choose now!"
Richter looked up with a smile. He could never be sure if he was under the influence of spirit magic or not, but he said, "Well, if you're going to be a dick about it, I'll give you my answer." He pointed at Futin. "The fact is, you fucked with my boy. So, I think all of us will just need to fuck you up."
"You have no honor,"
the knight accused. "Says the guy that eats people," Richter retorted.
"Let's do this."
You have refused both quests. Richter cast weak life aura on the snake and sent it forward. Alma cast weak life bolt at the knight, who ducked under the attack and began a casting of its own. A circle of purple light appeared on the floor as the knight began its spell. Alma started casting buffs on everyone, while Richter re-summoned the sapling. He looked at the knight behind its spell barrier and thought, "You might think you're safe, jabroni, but just wait. I've got some Forge of Heaven's weapons coming for your ass." The green disc appeared again, and the mountain lion re-emerged. All damage it had sustained before was gone. The cat bared its teeth and leapt forward to attack the knight. Richter started casting buffs on himself. Haste, weak life armor, bark skin. Then he downed another two mana potions. As ready as he would ever be, he drew both swords and ran forward to attack the barrier and reach the knight beneath. The undead warrior had not been idle, though, and as Richter ran towards it, the knight finished its own spell. A purple-black disc popped into existence, and a rank scent filled the air. Three skeletons in chainmail tromped through the disc before it winked out of existence. They were a full foot taller than the previous skeletons, and all held weapons. The knight sent them forward with a wave of its hand.
"You shall now meet death at the hands of my skeletal warriors. I will feast on your—" "What?"
One of the skeletal warriors the knight had been crowing about glowed golden for a moment, then disappeared. Alma trumpeted her triumph. Richter grinned and threw one of his short swords at another warrior. The blade sunk into its chest, popping rusty chainmail links with ease. With the other hand, he cast Weak Banish Undead. A golden glow surrounded the warrior. The skeleton resisted the spell for a moment, but Richter's mastery of life gave the casting a 50% bump in power. The gold light sunk into the death creature, and it faded away. The last skeleton swung its sword at Richter's head. The Chaos Seed committed himself to the sword form, reaping wheat. Dropping to one knee, he swung his blade horizontally through the skeleton's knee. The green metal of his elementum blade cut through the hardened bone with ease. Richter stood quickly, and as he did, he grabbed the blade that was sticking out of the skeleton's chest. It came free easily. The undead warrior hit the ground and Richter swiped down with his sword, separating the head from the body. The rest of the skeleton lost cohesion. The Decamer Knight looked at Richter, eyes widened in shock. It clearly had not expected its minions to be dispatched so quickly. Richter held up one blade and walked up to the spell barrier. "Don't worry, sweetheart. We'll be together soon." Then he swung his sword. The barrier didn't last long. Richter's Forge of Heavens mark gave his attacks +10% damage versus spell barriers. Coupled with the +10% damage against spell barriers that weapons made in the forge gained, each strike took nearly 80 points away from the shield. Within a minute, it collapsed, and the final battle was joined. The purple-black shield dropped, and the sapling dove forward. The knight swung a heavy blow from left to right at the elemental. The lion had been able to avoid the previous attacks, but this time, the knight was back to full strength. The black axe head struck the sapling in one of its middle paws, and the force of the blow knocked it to one side. The axe had cut deep, rendering the paw useless. With five to spare, however, the summoned creature wasn't out of the fight. Alma fired a lightning bolt at the knight. Its decreased resistances made it susceptible to various magics. Originally, the undead creature had 0% resistance to air magic, but now that it had dropped below zero, it was vulnerable to her attack. The stun effect took over, and it toppled forward. Richter wasted no time capitalizing on its weakness. He rushed forward and stabbed his sonic sword into the crook of the knight's neck. The sword slid down into its chest, doing massive damage. The stun effect did not last long. The low-level air magic did not have the power to completely overcome the knight, weakened resistance or no. The Decamer Knight stood, showing no concern for the weapon sticking out of its neck, and blocked Richter's next attack with its black-armored forearm. The elementum blade bit into the armor, but not enough to cause the knight meaningful harm. It pushed the blade away and grabbed Richter by the throat. The Chaos Seed's strength was not inconsiderable, but it could not match the undead knight's fully restored power. The sapling yowled from the side, preparing to dive at the Decamer. Rather than wait for the attack, the knight dropped its axe and wove its hand in an arcane pattern. The sapling sprung, but a beam of necrotic energy shot from the undead's gauntlet. It struck the sapling in the chest when it was only a foot away. The cat crumpled to the ground, black energy eating its body. The shale adder wove around the knight's midsection, squeezing as hard as it could, but the undead just ignored it. Richter stabbed his remaining sword through the undead's torso, but it did not have living organs, so the hit did not register as critical. The knight squeezed harder, and Richter began to see stars. Alma had not wasted the distraction. She descended from behind the knight and latched onto the back of the knight's head. Though it had ignored a blade that was still sticking out of its body, the psychic attack could not be so easily shrugged off. It reached up with its free hand while continuing to strangle Richter with the other. The Chaos Seed wasn't going to let Alma be mauled, though. He reached out with both hands up and grabbed the knight's free hand. It struggled against him and squeezed his neck harder, but Richter didn't let go. He started to hear his heart throb in his ears and his vision darkened, but he knew he just had to hold on until his dragonling could kill this fucking thing. He let go with one hand to slam a fist down on the sword sticking out of its neck before frantically grabbing the knight's arm again. Even letting go for a moment had allowed the knight to move its arm a few inches closer to Alma. He could only hope that he had hastened its end. The throbbing in his head spoke of impending unconsciousness, though, so he doubted it. Everything went black. The next thing he knew, he had been thrown into the air. The sapling had recovered from the death magic attack and had just enough strength left to rush at the knight. This time, it just aimed at running through the undead's legs. The knight might be much stronger than the cat, but it couldn't ignore physics. The elemental had been able to pick up enough speed that it knocked the knight off its feet. Richter was thrown free in the confusion. Looking up, he saw the knight on all fours, Alma still attached to its back. He knew he couldn't wait. A strangled cry came from Richter's throat as he scrambled to his feet. He dove at the knight, arms outstretched. His hands grabbed the blade sticking out of its chest and pulled it free. Richter took a risk and cast Soul Trap. A quick use of analyze showed that the creature only had a few dozen life left. The knight looked up at him, a snarl on its wizened face. In a variation of the sword form, the drunken barber, Richter swung his sword and decapitated his enemy. A ribbon of rainbow light swirled around Richter and then disappeared into his bag. The undead knight had been laid to its final rest. Chapter 17, Day 112, Qubborn 2, 15,368 EBG. With the knight's death, the purple light holding Futin in place winked out. The remnant dropped like a stone. He made a solid clack as he impacted the ground. Richter rushed over to the remnant. Alma flew into the air with a cry of triumph, while the adder and sapperling simply waited for further instructions. Richter picked up the remnant and held Futin close to his face. The white light at the stone's heart continued to pulse regularly, though it was dimmer than normal. Futin? Futin! Can you hear me? The light started to pulse a bit stronger.
I can hear you, my lord. You are breathing on me.
The remnant's tone was as deadpan as ever. Richter couldn't ignore that the voice was somewhat querulous, though, and that there might have been just a touch of relief in it as well. Richter laughed. He definitely was relieved. As frustrating as the remnant was, the little floating nightlight had become dear to him.
Can you fly? He asked. I will need to absorb mana from the village pool, my lord. I was unable to access any mana while I was being held in the Decamer's spell. With enough magic, I will heal enough to be able to travel. I will need to return to the Great Seal to heal completely.
Do what you need to do, Richter said. The white light at Futin's core started pulsing faster, and Richter monitored the village mana. 217 points were consumed in short order, and the remnant floated into the air.
I am feeling much improved, my lord.
Futin's voice was indeed stronger. Good, Richter said, nodding. Then I need your help. The knight kept going on and on about a secret he had and a portal he was guarding. Search the room and see what you can find.
As you wish, my lord.
Futin floated off. Richter checked the adder and saw that it was still bleeding in places. Richter cast weak, slow heal, and the wounds closed. The snake hissed in relief and coiled upon itself, exhausted. He could admit that the fight had tired him out as well. His stamina was full now, but he still felt a bit mentally drained. The effects of casting the spirit spell were nowhere near as overwhelming as the previous time, but he could still feel that his emotions were in flux. Controlling them was also taking a toll. Richter was actually surprised that he had so much more control after only a bit of training, but he supposed it was the same as fighting naked or in leather armor. Leather armor didn't offer much defense to a sword strike, but it was still worlds better than getting struck wearing only one skin. Putting such thoughts aside, he focused on the notifications he had earned. You have trapped the soul of a Decamer ghost, soul level common, times 9. You have trapped the soul of a Decamer skeleton, soul level common. You have trapped the soul of a Decamer knight, soul level luminous. You have been awarded 4,064 experience from brain drain against level 13 Decamer skeleton. You have been awarded 65,805 experience from brain drain against level 37 Decamer Knight. Richter broke off reading to give a woot. He was well on his way to restoring the XP he had spent. The knight had been a serious opponent, and if this guy was only the gatekeeper, then wherever that portal it had been talking about led might be an XP gold mine. He got back to his prompts. Your familiar has reached level 30 and 31. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 11 in small blades, plus 2% attack speed, plus 2% bonus to damage. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 2 in dual wield. Base accuracy penalty in primary hand reduced to 24%, and in offhand by 49%. Attack speed increased by 1%.
Congratulations, you have reached skill level 3 in dual wield. Base accuracy penalty in primary hand reduced to 23%, and in offhand by 48%. Attack speed increased by 1%. Congratulations, you have reached sub-skill level 10 in Grace in Combat. Dodge increased by 19% while wearing all light armor. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 8 in Life Magic. New spells are now available. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 3 in Beast Bonding. Plus 1% effectiveness to tame. Plus 1% attack and defense of bonded creatures. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 8 in Self-Awareness, plus 2% mental and emotional control. You have received 625 bonus experience for reaching level 10 in the sub-skill Gracing Combat. Congratulations, you have advanced from Novice to Initiate in Grace in Combat. Your understanding of how to move in light armor has increased. Plus 5% movement speed if wearing all light armor. This effect is cumulative with successive ranks. All of those prompts were good news, but what really caught Richter's attention was the last one. Its border was clear, but it pulsed with white light. Congratulations! You have captured a memory from a Decamer Knight. This memory can only be accessed for the next 24 hours before dissolution into the ether. Experiencing this memory will be instantaneous in regards to your timeline. Do you wish to access this memory, yes or no? Richter smiled. He could only imagine what the memory held. If it was something important, could it perhaps be the secret the knight had been referencing? Either way, Richter felt better after reading the prompt. One of the things he had been worried about was getting caught in a memory for a long period of time. It wouldn't be so good if he was immobilized for a long period of time. He would never live it down if the land's equivalent of a dragon warrior blue slime slowly beat him to death while he just stood there drooling. Richter selected yes, and his vision went black. He panicked for a second, but a green light flared. Not the dark green that he normally associated with earth magic. This was more of a brighter neon, and, for lack of a better word, ethereal light. Richter realized that he was kneeling, with his head slightly bent, as if in prayer. His position didn't inhibit his view of the chamber in any way, though a moment later, he wished it had. The green light was coming from two braziers suspended from the ceiling. The dancing lime-colored flames flickered in and out of existence. Observing the strange fire was the last thing on Richter's mind, though. All he could focus on was the upright, X-shaped stands that screaming people were attached to. Men, women, and children were being devoured by some type of demon animal. Most of the bound figures were human, but there were also several elves and even a few sprites. The beasts were built like Rottweilers, but their skin had been removed, showing the bones beneath. The same neon green energy that illuminated the hall showed through rents in their exposed flesh. There were only 5 of them, but they were systematically mauling the dozens of people tied to the sacrificial stands. Several men and women were already sagging, dead, their entrails on the ground mixed with blood and fresh excrement. The monsters methodically tore into the victims, one at a time, savaging limbs and genitals to prolong the pain. The beasts seemed particularly pleased when they struck an artery. He saw one animal strike a child's leg and a jet of scarlet shot into the air before subsiding. A moment later, another stream of blood washed over the boy's tormentor, in time with the child's panicked heart. The undead beast clamped its mouth onto the gusher and drank deeply. The child screamed in pain and fear. Before the boy died, though, the monster loosened its bite. The blood loss slowed considerably, letting the small child suffer for a bit longer before death. A stream of the same green energy came off of each of the dogs and extended back behind Richter's field of vision. The ribbons of light grew darker and thicker as they were fueled by the pain and death. The man whose eyes Richter was seeing through took all of this in,
but focused mostly on the bloodied body of a screaming human girl. One of the demon dogs was taking its time, tearing off small pieces of her leg and swallowing each bloody chunk whole. In his mind, Richter heard the knight think in tones of shame and love.
"I'm sorry, Krista. I'm sorry, Krista. It will be over soon. Please let it be over soon."
Richter felt, or rather the knight felt, a bony hand on the back of his neck. A voice like a dry whisper echoed in his ears, seemingly coming from all directions at once.
"You have done well, Jorgen. I accept your sacrifice. As promised, I shall now give you power and life through the ages."
The figure crossed into his view and Richter saw where the ribbons of light were going. They ended in the chest of a gaunt figure. Its chest was bare and its skin was desiccated and gray. It wore an open robe of dull red silk and simple black pants. Thin white hair fell down from its head, but Richter could not see its face, for it was looking at the people screaming for help and an end to their pain. It raised one hand and started an incantation, still facing away. After a few moments, green fire enveloped its hand, but it showed no discomfort. It spoke in the same whispering voice, making Richter feel as if a spider was slowly walking across his mind.
"Say the words."
Jorgen began to speak. Even though Richter could remember that this was its memory, he felt sickened as he relived the man's betrayal.
"I forsake life and offer the lives of my loved ones and the blood of my blood. I forsake life and offer the lives of my loved ones and the blood of my blood. I forsake life and offer the lives of my loved ones and the blood of my blood."
It showed no emotion as it turned to look at the knight. Through the soon-to-be-damned man's eyes, Richter could finally see the figure's face. Stark and sunken cheeks framed a cruel male gaze. Its features were fine, like an elf's, and its eyes glowed with the same ubiquitous green light that was spread throughout the chamber.
"Thrice heard and witnessed."
With that pronouncement, it plunged its hand onto the knight's face. Richter felt a searing agony as the fire marred Jorgen's face, and an even worse pain as energy from the magical flame reached inside and perverted the man's immortal soul. Jorgen slash Richter screamed, his vocalized pain mixing with the wails of the sacrificial victims. Unperturbed by the suffering around him, the figure spoke again.
"You will serve me by guarding the entrance to my realm. The suffering of these victims will continue until the land crumbles. Their spirits shall remain bound to this plane, and their perpetual agony at being kept from their rest will power your life and my magic. You will be bound through eternity, damned to remain here at the site of your betrayal of light and life. Your only company shall be those who you slay in my name."
The flames disfiguring Jorgen's face went out. The newly born Dekamer knight fell to the ground and wept. Richter's disgust deepened as he realized that the man was grieving not for the people still suffering not 30 feet away, and not even for his daughter, whose legs were now only stumps. He grieved for his own future, moaning on the floor with eyes that could no longer weep. The red-robed mage lifted Jorgen's chin. The man flinched, but the mage's grip on his chin firmed. Once they were gazing into one another's eyes again, the caster spoke.
"You will reside in this place until..."
The fires in its eyes intensified and its gaze deepened. Richter started to feel panic. It felt like the undead lord was looking through Jorgen and seeing him. Confirming his worst fears, it said,
"Who are you, agent of chaos?"
Richter felt it reaching even deeper into Jorgen's mind in an effort to pierce his own. The Chaos Seed knew instinctively that this was not a foe he could resist, at least not in this type of contest. He felt its will brush up against the edges of his mind, and Richter could sense its hunger to learn his secrets. With a furious exertion of will, he broke the memory link. Panting, and with sweat running down his face, Richter looked about frantically. He was back in his own time. There were no sacrificial victims, no blood-drinking hounds, and most importantly, no neon green fire or undead master. His legs gave out, and he slumped to the floor in relief. Alma flew over and sat on his lap in concern, mentally asking her master what was wrong. Richter just pulled the dragonling close and held her. He thanked God that he had escaped whatever that thing had been, and also that his small love hadn't had to live through what he had just experienced. Chapter 18, Day 112, Qaborn 2, 15,368 EBG. Quest update. Know your backyard 1. You have found a notable location. This dungeon was the site of a massacre and horrible sacrifice. The knight guarding the entrance to this dungeon was duped into sacrificing his family, only to be turned into a slave. You have discovered the importance of one of three locations. Quest update. Proper rest 1. The people who lived above this dungeon were sacrificed by one of their own. It was a horrible tragedy and an unforgivable betrayal. You have 24 hours to fulfill the optional requirement and put their remains to rest. You have been offered a quest. Who is the master? You have bonded with your place of power, but have just been shown that you are not the only authority within the boundaries of your domain. You have narrowly missed being discovered by an undead lord, but can you trust that its power will not one day threaten you and your people? Find the portal the Decamer Knight spoke of and remove this danger. Will you explore this undead realm, yes or no? Richter checked his internal clock. Only seconds had passed since he had accepted the memory, and that time could be attributed to what he had done since coming back. Alma continued to ask him what had happened. All he could think about, though, was the pure evil of the mind that had almost touched his. The quest prompt hung in his vision until he perfunctorily selected yes. After a few minutes, he calmed down enough and related the story. The dragonling didn't interrupt while he mentally shared the information at a much faster rate than mere words could have accomplished. He made sure not to share any actual images with his familiar. As soon as he was done with the tale, she let her feelings be known.
Fool! You could have been killed or possessed. You cannot dive into psychic spaces without any defenses in place.
Richter, still somewhat traumatized, didn't try and defend himself. He just asked, "What do you mean, defenses?" She mentally blasted him with a few more invectives, then rubbed her face against his, trying to console him, even while she herself was racked with anger and worry. When she spoke again, though, her tone was patient.
"I am sorry that I yelled, Master. I was scared for you, and I must accept that this is partly my fault."
She put a heavy emphasis on partly.
"You should have told me that our connection was awakening new capabilities in you. I did not know that you had progressed to the point of making mental links. That is a versatile skill, but it is dangerous as well. If I had known, I would have given you training to protect yourself."
"Like when you taught me my self-awareness?" he asked.
"That skill is about inner control. In my homeland, however, there were many creatures that possessed psychic powers. My kind use psychic abilities on an instinctual level, but since my intellect has increased, I can see that my race has instinctual defense mechanisms to protect ourselves from creatures that would use those abilities against us."
Her mental tone grew determined.
"We will work together each day to train your mind in defense. I will not lose you, Master."
Richter was both touched by her obvious love for him and taken aback by her ferocity. "I have my 65% mental resistance, and I know you have 100%. What else can we do?" The mental connection to Alma grew staticky. Somehow he knew that meant she was frustrated. She looked up at him, thinking of a way to explain herself. Until that moment, Richter had never known how incredibly cute and humorous it could be to see a pondering expression on a dragonling's face. He made sure to keep that thought buried, though. He wasn't in the mood to have her fire lightning in his face. After a few more moments, she apparently came up with an analogy.
"Your small blade skill is increasing, right, Master?"
He sent her a mental assent.
Sprite Yoshi does not rely only on his blade skill level in battle, but also in his training and technique, correct?
He sent another assent.
The same is true for your mental defenses. Your increased mental resistance will protect you somewhat from straightforward mental attacks, but even with my 100% resistance, I must still be wary of subtle mental manipulations.
So, you're saying that my defenses are like a castle, but I've been leaving the gate open? Richter thought to her, feeling good about gaining her point. Alma looked at him quizzically, and then, with a long-suffering tone, thought back,
"Sure, Master, if it helps you to think about it that way. I will help make your castle stronger and teach you to keep your drawbridge up."
Richter looked down at the impudent little dragonling. "I think my analogy was fine," he muttered under his breath. He also thought it must be an odd quirk of the universe that women were always telling him to keep their drawbridges up. That thought must have leaked through the bond because Alma blew a jet of air into his face. Then she set about teaching him as best she could. It wasn't easy for her to translate eons of genetic instinct into a set of relatable instructions, but just like when she taught him the skill of self-awareness, their mental bond allowed for a steep learning curve. Richter had expected them to start this when safely back in the village, but she said that since they were waiting for Futin to search anyway, there was no reason to wait. He didn't receive any prompts showing a new skill this time. Instead, she guided him in techniques to create his own mental safeguards. Her analogy had been accurate, and the experience was vaguely reminiscent of learning Yoshi's sword forms. It taught him to use what he already had, making him much more effective. The two of them got lost in their mental communication. Neither even noticed when the Saproling returned to its home plane. Despite her initially dismissive tone, Alma stayed with the idea that Richter's mind was a castle. She showed him how to shore up the defenses, raise the walls, and even started teaching him to imagine defensive thought forms as guards patrolling the walls. It wasn't until Futin floated up and told them that he had found something that they stopped the training. Alma informed Richter that his mind was already more secure, but was nowhere near being acceptably defended. She promised him more training again soon. Alma flew up into the air and Richter stood. He checked his clock and was shocked to see that almost an hour had gone by. He penned another quick note and summoned a mistworker to run it back to the village. Thinking a bit more, he summoned three more to escort the first. The workers had almost no offensive capabilities, but he ordered the extra ones to sacrifice themselves if necessary to increase the chance that the first might make it back to the village safely. He could only imagine Tarad swearing up a storm at his irresponsible lord running off on his own. As the mist workers left the dungeon, Richter walked over to the body of the Decamer Knight. He had been so preoccupied with his prompts that he hadn't searched the body yet. The first thing he did was to remove his blade from its body. He wiped the bits of rotted matter off with a rag from his bag and then dropped the soiled cloth in distaste. The short sword went back into his back sheath and he examined the knight. "You have found Decamer Steel Barbet Helm, defense plus 8, weight 2.3 kilograms, durability 58 of 62, item class uncommon, quality exceptional, type medium armor, traits must be undead to safely wear. Plus 1% strength of death spells. You have found Decamer Steel Breastplate. Defense plus 10. Weight 8.8 kilograms. Durability 82 of 91. Item class uncommon. Quality exceptional. Type medium armor. Traits must be undead to safely wear. Plus 1% strength of death spells. You have found Decamer Steel Bracers. Defense plus 7. Weight 3.7 kilograms. Durability 58 of 62. Item class uncommon. Quality well crafted. Type medium armor. Traits must be undead to safely wear. Plus 1% strength of death spells. You have found Decamer Steel Gauntlets. Defense plus 7. Weight 2.3 kilograms. Durability 34 of 40. Item class uncommon. Quality exceptional. Type medium armor. Traits must be undead to safely wear. Plus 1% strength of death spells. You have found Decamer Steel Greaves. Defense plus 8. Weight 4.2 kilograms. Durability 54 of 59. Item class uncommon. Quality exceptional. Type medium armor. Traits Must be undead to safely wear. Plus 1% strength of death spells. You have found Decamer Steel Boots. Defense plus 4. Weight 3.5 kilograms. Durability 32 of 32. Item class uncommon. Quality well crafted. Type medium armor. Traits. Must be undead to safely wear. Plus 1% strength of death spells. Congratulations, you have obtained an entire set of matched armor, Decamer Knight's Armor. Defense given by each piece increased by 25%. Special bonus, controlled death creatures will be one level higher. You have found Balanced War Axe, damage 17 to 21, weight 4.1 kilograms, durability 72 of 83, item class common, quality exceptional. Curious about the restriction on the armor, Richter took off one of his gauntlets and slipped one of the black Decamer ones on. Immediately, he gained a poisoned icon, and his health started dropping. Focusing on the icon told him that he would lose 5 health per second, and that upon death would become an undead in the service of whatever being had created the armor. Shivering involuntarily, he quickly removed the armored glove. The icon disappeared, and his health stopped falling. He cast Weak Slow Heal, restoring the few points he had lost. The knight didn't have any other items of note, so Richter just shoved all of the items into his bag. He didn't know what good the Decamer armor could do, but he thought he'd show it to Crom to see if the dwarf had any ideas. At the very least, he could sacrifice the armor to the forge and hopefully gain an enchantment. Richter summoned a mist worker to take the body back to the village. Bayan or Tavia might also find something useful. Futin waited silently nearby. Once Richter was done, the remnant led him several hundred yards to the back of the hall. The shale adder slid silently behind them. Futin stopped in front of a blank wall. The light inside of the remnant flared, and a circular ward appeared, hugging the wall. Richter's eyes widened slightly, daunted by what he saw. Previous wards he had seen had one or perhaps two circles on the periphery. The number of circles was proportional to their complexity. This ward had 4 circles, each filled with tiny symbols. He looked at Futin. Can you even disarm this?
I studied the pattern before coming to notify you, my lord. That is why my search took so long. I am fairly confident that I figured out how to disarm it.
Saying nothing else, Futin's light flared again and the circles on the ward began to spin. They twisted back and forth like tumblers. It took several minutes, but finally, the ward flared and rose into the air before dissipating. Good job, Richter said, relieved. He hadn't really liked hearing Futin say fairly confident. It had worked out, though. The Chaos Seed leaned forward and started examining the apparently blank wall. It didn't take him too long to find a finger-width indentation between 2 of the stones. His Pierce the Veil skill once again showed its worth, and a faint blue glow appeared. Richter smiled. That particular shade of Azul indicated that he had found a hidden compartment. He scanned all around the indentation to make sure that no telltale red glow appeared, but thankfully, it didn't look like there were any traps. He took his gauntlet off and slipped a finger inside, feeling for the release mechanism. Richter's finger went in about 3 inches, curling to the side, but he couldn't get it any further. He felt around for another second and was able to detect a small hole at the end of the indentation. It was too small for him to worm his finger any deeper through. Richter pulled his finger out and frowned. He hadn't seen any other secret caches, and the fact that it glowed blue meant it wasn't just an irregularity in the stone. The indentation curled, so he couldn't use one of his lockpicks. He took a step back and tried to reason it out. There had to be a way in. The release was most likely at the end of the small hole. The real question was how the undead knight had managed to release the catch when it was too small for fingers. He chuckled to himself. The answer was obvious. He drew his white dagger and walked back over to the mistworker holding the body. Richter checked both hands, and sure enough, one of the knight's fingers was denuded of flesh, showing only bone. Richter braced the finger against the edge of his blade like he was getting ready to cut into an apple. He pressed down, wincing slightly at the sound of cracking bone, but was able to cut the finger free. Richter walked back over to the indentation and inserted the skeletal finger. He snaked it around until he felt it align with the small hole. Another slight push sunk the finger another half inch. The wall began to vibrate. Richter stepped back with a smug grin and looked at the knight's severed appendage. He chuckled to himself. A skeleton key. A portion of the wall swung open. The edge of the door was crenellated to follow the line of the stone blocks the hallway was built of. Behind the wall was another chamber made of the same stone blocks. The light from the two hanging braziers in the main chamber was not enough to fully see, so Richter summoned a mist light. The gray-white light filled the room. Two pedestals sat in the center of the circular room, one white, the other black. They were each 5 feet tall and triangular. Both pillars had runes carved into their faces, the white much smaller than the black. Against the far wall was a sturdy wooden door with a ring. Nothing else was in the chamber. Walking up to them, he saw that just as with the large rune he had seen with the dark aberration, there were many little details, but at the core of each were two larger symbols. One of the symbols comprising both runes was the ancient sigil for death. Richter recognized it from his lore book. The other symbol on the black pillar was a slight variation on the dark aberration rune for containment. The last sigil he didn't recognize, but it looked like the opposite of the containment rune. With a flash of insight, Richter realized that the two runes must work in conjunction. The containment rune kept the knight from escaping. The other rune, though, must have been there to keep the knight from getting too close to either pedestal and deactivating them. The perfect trap. Richter walked up to the white column and, after pausing for just a moment, placed his hand upon it. Welcome, Master of the Mist Village. You have accessed the Rune of Death Repulsion. It serves to keep a specific being of death magic outside of the range of the spell. You have conquered the antechamber of this dungeon and can now access its functions. Do you wish to deactivate the runic magic, yes or no? Richter thought about it. He hadn't worked up the nerve to deactivate the Rune of Dark Holding in the Aberration Cave yet, but if he understood this correctly, the rune on the white column was only meant to keep the knight out of this antechamber. Since the knight was now dead, truly dead, what was the worst that could happen? Promising himself for the umpteenth time that he would stop tempting fate with stupid questions like that, Richter decided to see what would happen when he deactivated the rune. First, though, he decided to make a rubbing in case the rune was destroyed. He took a piece of paper and some charcoal from his bag. Placing the paper over the rune, he started rubbing the charcoal vigorously over the top. Richter could feel a tingle of power coming through the thin sheet. He had wondered how paper was made in the land for a while. The sheet was nowhere near as thin or easy to write on as what he could have bought at any Walmart, but it was still better than what he would have thought a medieval society could produce. Richter shrugged, imagining the answer must have something to do with magic. Seeing as how he had two scribes in the village, he should be able to have the answer easily enough. Richter finished making a copy of the first rune and inspected it. Except for one area, he had been able to capture all of the little details. He carefully placed the etching back into the same position and ran over the part that was lacking. A minute later, the rubbing was complete. Satisfied, he carefully put the paper into his bag. Checking his inventory, he saw that the paper had taken up a single square of the 20x20 grid. Richter was sure that it would stay safe there. To be completely safe, he took another thin piece of parchment and made a second rubbing of the white rune. Then he repeated the process with the rune on the black column. When he was done and the parchment was resting safely in his inventory, he placed his hand back on the white rune. Richter selected yes to deactivate the rune and it started vibrating under his hand. He snatched his palm away from the column and watched as the center of the rune changed. First it grew transparent, and then ghostly in appearance. A soul stone floated out from the rune and hovered in the air a foot from the column's surface. Richter looked at it, surprised, but then the rune returned to normal and the stone dropped. It was because of his high dexterity that he was able to catch it before it hit the ground. Know this, the soul contained within this stone has been expended.
To reactivate this rune, you will need another luminous level soul. You have found Soul Stone, level luminous, status empty.
Richter smiled. The Soul Stones were retrievable. True, it seemed the souls contained within were lost, but empty Soul Stones were still valuable. Wasting no time, he deactivated